This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Has the final war for the Third Temple begun? The headline from Breaking Israel News: Will Shabbat Massacre Usher in Final War for Third Temple? The horrific murder of three family members on Friday night in Israel signaled a painful upsurge in the battle for the Temple Mount and indicated that the recent struggle is part of the archetypical end-of-days battle between good and evil that could bring the Third Temple, says Breaking Israel News. In a bloody and brutal attack, a Palestinian terrorist entered the house of a family as they sat down to their Shabbat meal on Friday and murdered a grandfather, two of his children, injured another, and caused the mother to hide the rest of the children from the terrorist until she could get help. The attack was indeed connected to the Temple Mount, said Rabbi Shlomo Katz. He believes the Jewish teachings show the attack was integrally connected to the coming of the Third Temple. He said, "We see that everything is coming down to the Temple Mount. In these final days before the Messiah, we need to have clarity about this," said the rabbi. Rabbi Katz says, "This tumultuous time is an opportunity for Israel to move forward towards the building of the Third Temple." He said the Temple Mount was in our hands and we gave it away. "We have another chance now to say to the world that this is God's house," said the rabbi, "and that's what the struggle is about and has always been about." The rabbi went on to state that the real struggle for the Third Temple begins in our hearts. And he's right. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and this last week and weekend have been one of the most crucial weekends in the history of the world. You may not think so because of all the talk in America about health care and Obamacare and Russia and these things that seem to preoccupy the American mind and media. But the real issues, the bigger issues, the global issues, the eternal issues are taking place right in front of our eyes, and we pay no attention. Moshe Feiglin, a former member of the Knesset, warned that this current conflict in Israel could evolve into a battle for Israel's very existence. He said, "If we give in now, we will bring down the final most destructive war." What is that final most destructive war? The one that the ancient prophets foretold in the scriptures. This, my friends, is on the mind of every Israeli. This is on the mind of Benjamin Netanyahu. This is on the mind, the very sovereignty over the Temple Mount, the very issue of the Temple Mount, is the most critical front row center issue facing Israel and the world at this very moment. And so again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's always conversation with increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and today should be no exception. You may wonder why we would focus on something like this when we have other issues that we consider pressing and seemingly intractable here in our country. Well, indeed, health care and so on seems to be intractable only because we have men in Congress who have no convictions, no clarity of thought, no courage to stand and do what they say. But in Israel, things are different. In Israel, they are standing, they are taking courage, they are willing to do what they say. Because it really matters. Oh, it matters not only for Israel's existence, but it matters in the context of biblical prophecy. The fulfillment of all history and biblical prophecy. And the Jewish people are beginning, they're seeing this. They're seeing it played out right in front of their eyes in their own country and They're not losing sight of it. In fact, it is bringing them to an ever-increasing sense that this is the moment that all history has awaited. This is the moment that the ancient prophets foretold. This is the moment that the prophet Malachi was referring to when he said the Lord himself will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. But who shall abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, and he will purify. How can he come to a temple that doesn't exist? In other words, something is about to happen. And we're going to take a look at that here today on Viewpoint. At the same time, I need to call your attention to my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle. For, as it says right on the cover, he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. The Israelis know that. They know that the Temple Mount is the big issue. Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. And we're going to see that the Arabs see it exactly the same way. This is a no-holds-barred battle for the end of the age. This is the final battle, and it's already begun. In fact, it began some time ago, and it's now metastasizing into moving from Jerusalem itself to the Temple Mount, which is the ultimate focus. In my book, King of the Mountain, under the chapter The Temple Mount, they say, lurking within the purported political and religious machinations of men for world peace is the undisclosed yet dominating desire to rule the world. Although seldom said openly behind closed doors, it's a universally believed truth that in the end, he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. So the battle is on. The battle for King of the Mountain has in many respects only just begun. This war will not be waged primarily with weapons of mass destruction, but rather with the newfound weapons of mass global persuasion. Religious and political chicanery will be rampant, demonstrating that deception remains one of the most effective tools of warfare, and Israel herself will be dramatically deceived, threatening her destiny. The pernicious promises of a counterfeit Messiah will lure, through the ostensible pursuit of peace, the unsuspecting seed of Jacob into a terrifying trap, and it will necessitate direct intervention by the returning Messiah in the latter time when transgressors are come to the full and a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and through his peace or policy of peace, he shall cause craft to prosper, and by the pursuit of peace, this Antichrist will destroy many. King of the Mountain. Friends, this is a $20 book. It's yours for $15 here on the program today. And believe it or not, this was written in 2013, 4 years ago, and spoke with precision concerning what is happening at this very time. You want to understand what's really going on? Get the book. It's on our website, saveus.org, King of the Mountain.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Some people have asked me, Chuck, how could you have known in 2013 with such precision what was going to take place in our world? How could you have written about it, tying together history and prophecy in such a way that nobody else has done? To help us to understand, I can only tell you this. I could not have known that. Only the Holy Spirit could reveal it. And that's how I feel about it.
I take no pride in the writing of the book because, in some respects, I was only the penman. But it does tell you, it does open up to our minds and our hearts the gravity from God's viewpoint of this matter, the matter of the temple. And Jesus spoke of the temple of his day, Herod's temple. Some people will say, well, the temple was not a holy place. Didn't Herod, that wicked Herod, didn't he build the temple? Well, yeah, he did. He added to it and made it glorious. And Jesus himself, walking into that temple a couple of days before his crucifixion, said, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He called it his house. Isn't that interesting? We may have our viewpoints concerning the matter, but God has his. And he has said that the Temple Mount is his holy hill. That's how he refers to it in the scriptures. He also refers to it as the holy mount, or my holy mountain. One of those locations we've talked about recently, even last week. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the nations imagine a vain and foolish thing? Why are they setting themselves against the Lord and against his anointed Israel, saying, let us tear their bands asunder? And God responds, yet I have set my king on my holy hill. In other words, God is stating in advance what he has already decreed, that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, the Lord of the church, is one day going to sit and rule from Mount Zion, and the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And it's going to happen. Regardless of what you think could possibly happen, it is going to happen because God has decreed it. And so God says to the leaders of the nations that are all seeking to find their way to gain dominion over the Temple Mount, either politically, economically, religiously, or all of the above. And he says, hey, you guys might just want to consider that I'm God and you're not. I'm going to have you in derision. I'm going to give you such confusion, and I'm going to bring your efforts to naught. In fact, the prophet Zechariah says, I'm going to seek to destroy every nation that seeks to come against Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. I'm going to do that. I wouldn't want to be in the crosshairs of the God of creation, would you? And yet, in this day and age, with the arrogance of men and power brokers throughout the world, both religious and political and economic, at every level, the pride is so great, the seeking for power, perks, and position is so dominant, that it will lead inexorably to the final battle of the ages, and ultimately the battle for the Temple Mount. The eternal epic end time battle is in process. So if you don't have the book, King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic End Time Battle, you just need to get it. And if you do have it, you need to start reading it. And you don't have to read it, multiple chapters at a time. It's written so you can read it. You don't even have to read it a whole chapter at a time. You can read it in small segments. That's how I have to read books, because I don't have time just to sit down for hours and read a book. So I will read it several pages at a time, and follow the breakpoints in the book, and I'll tell you, it's just the way to do it. The book, King of the Mountain, it's on our website, saveus.org. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, or you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. But get the book. It's a $20 book, yours for $15 here on the program today. Now, again from Breaking Israel News today, the headline, Spiritual Butterfly Effect, Temple Mount Riots Leading to Modern Day Vesuvius Disaster. This is fascinating, and we're not going to say, and we're not purporting to say, and neither are the writers of article purporting to say that this is an absolute connection. But follow the thinking. The recent confluence of a global rash of epic natural disasters and rapidly rising tensions surrounding the Temple Mount echoes events from 2,000 years ago when the destruction of the temple preceded a catastrophic volcanic eruption in a distant section of the world. Now, that's the opening statement. Let's take a look at what happened just in the last couple of days in our world following this event at the Temple Mount. On Sunday, 25,000 people were evacuated from their homes in northeast Japan as a level 8 typhoon caused massive flooding. Over the weekend, 8 tropical cyclones simultaneously churned through the North Pacific, something that hasn't happened in more than 4 decades. This followed a freak storm that hit Japan with no warning last Tuesday, pelting one area with hailstones. Not to be outdone by the heavens above, the earth itself was made known by rocking and rolling in several separate locations. On Friday, a 6.5 magnitude earthquake hit Greece and Turkey, killing 2 people and injuring over 300. On the other side of the globe, the Long Valley Caldera in California's Eastern Sierra was hit over the weekend by a swarm of earthquakes, 150 of them. The sudden onset of these natural phenomena may be spiritually connected to the recent upheaval surrounding the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, said Rabbi Avraham Aria Trugman. Rabbi Trugman cited the case of the Roman Emperor Titus as a compelling precedent for how events harming the Jewish people have tempted the fury of the heavens, in other words, God, to move through so-called nature or natural disasters to respond. As the Roman military commander in Judea, Titus, in 70 AD, ordered the Holy Temple in Jerusalem to be burned to the ground on the 9th of Av, again, 70 AD. When he became emperor 9 years later, Mount Vesuvius erupted, destroying the thriving Roman city of Pompeii. The catastrophic event took place in the very same month as the destruction of the temple. Titus died suddenly just a few days before the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah. The Talmud clearly designated Titus as suffering for his sins against the temple in a way that brought destruction into the world, said Rabbi Trugman, calling it a spiritual butterfly effect. Now, what do they mean by this spiritual butterfly effect? Well, it's a concept holding that small events can have large and unanticipated after effects in seemingly distant and disconnected contexts. So Rabbi Yosef Berger, the rabbi of the tomb of King David on Mount Zion, agreed that there is a connection between the events in Israel and global natural catastrophes. Now, that having been said, I am not prepared to say on this end, this is that. In other words, that there is and confirm that there is a direct connection. On the other hand, God historically, in time, throughout biblical time, used natural disasters to judge those nations and kings who came against Israel and Judah. And he used natural disasters to judge Israel and Judah herself. That's one of the premier ways that God judges. We don't like to agree with that today. Our pastors disagree with that because they don't want people to think that God might be mean or he might be, you know, they want to market the gospel. Well, God is not something to be marketed, friends. He's God. Have you figured that out yet? Now, let's get back to the Temple Mount. And what's going on there? Israel is sovereign on the Temple Mount. Israel will not back down on security measures for worshipers entering the Temple Mount compound, said the Minister for National Security and Foreign Affairs yesterday on Army Radio. The status quo does not include the right to bring arms into the Temple Mount. The status quo does not include the right to murder police officers or anyone else. He says this isn't just about tactical decisions. A battle is going on for Jerusalem. A battle is going on for sovereignty over the Temple Mount. This isn't about metal detectors. And he's absolutely right. It's not about metal detectors. It's the battle for King of the Mountain, friends. And if you think it's about metal detectors, you are just naive. And the leaders of our world who think it's about metal detectors are just totally naive. They're blind in one eye and refuse to see out of the other. It's about the battle for control of the Temple Mount as the means to ultimately control and rule the world. Arut Sheva, Israel National News. Knesset Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee Chairman Avi Dichter spoke on Saturday night about the steps which must be taken to ensure security on the Temple Mount. All of the security forces whose knees shake at the thought of standing up to the Palestinians' murderous and verbal violence are shirking their responsibility to ensure that the Temple Mount does not become a weapons storehouse that terrorists come to in order to receive weapons and carry out attacks like the one that happened last week, he said. So what happened last week, in case you forgot or you didn't pay attention? Last week, three terrorists smuggled firearms into the Temple Mount and waged warfare against Israel's guards, killing two guards. The three terrorists were killed. This was the first time that this kind of incident has taken place. This is the reason why Israel decided instantly to place metal detectors at the entrances to the Temple Mount. They were not trying to prevent Muslims from entering the Temple Mount, but trying to prevent knives and firearms from entering the Temple Mount. And, of course, the Islamic world raises an uproar and creates an international scene like a bunch of crying babies over this situation, refusing to admit their own responsibility and culpability through their own representatives, their own terrorists, that they are approving and embracing and rewarding to do this skullduggerous kind of behavior and create these incidents on the Temple Mount and to test Israel at every point. Israel finally said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. That's what the leaders in Israel are now saying. Enough is enough. Now, lest you should think that this is just something that Israel is overreacting to, try this headline from Israel National News today. Radical cleric calls for Islamic war for Jerusalem. Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, head of the Association of Muslim Scholars and a senior member of the Muslim Brotherhood, said yesterday that the confrontation with Israel on the Temple Mount should be defined as a religious campaign or war. In other words, he was calling Islam to war. It must clearly be stated that this is an Islamic campaign, he said. That's a war. Since Al-Quds, that's the Islamic or Arab word for Jerusalem, is not only a Palestinian issue or an Arab one. Al-Quds is the interest of the Islamic nation from the west to the east, he said. Well, Qaradawi is considered the supreme religious authority of the Sunni Muslim world and the spiritual leader of both the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. In other words, he has great power and authority. So when he speaks and calls for Islamic war for Jerusalem, this is not a game, my friends. This is exactly what we've been talking about. And a lot of people just brush it off, poo-poo. It's real. It's in front of your face. And we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem and prepare our own minds and hearts for the battles that are to come, which are not a game. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
It was 2005. The Palestinian Authority Prime Minister then, Ahmad Kare, said the fight has begun for Jerusalem and it is a dangerous war. 5 years later, Israel National News, Arutz 7, headlined, reaffirmed, quote, the battle for Jerusalem, quote, noting, so goes Jerusalem, so goes the peace process. The battle for Jerusalem is front row center, friends. And as the Palestinian Authority Prime Minister said, it is a dangerous and will be a dangerous war. In fact, no war in the history of mankind will have had more momentous impact. And at stake is the final battle for King of the Mountain, who is going to rule and reign over planet Earth. You need to understand this. The Palestinian cause is a mere political and religious ploy to obscure the true objective. The purported compassion driving the nations to demand a two-state solution for the ultimate establishment of world peace has become a powerful diversion, providing cover for the nefarious purposes lurking in the global shadows, soon to be unleashed with a vengeance intent on victory in the ultimate and cataclysmic battle for Jerusalem. That, from page 263 in my book, King of the Mountain, The Battle for Jerusalem. I tell you, my friends, when we've talked about this in the past, I know there are some who said, yeah, you know, I think you've got something there, but I suspect that there are many. They haven't responded to me, but I suspect there are many who kind of poo-poo the idea and say, oh, ho-hum, whatever, whatever. They're always going to have problems there. You don't seem to get it. This is about the completion of God's plan and purposes on the planet. These are not just que sera, sera, whatever will be developments. These are very calculated developments, and they are developments that are in clear, unadulterated fulfillment of biblical prophecy, leading inexorably to the final great battles of history. Now, following these two events that have taken place just in the last few days. First, the Temple Mount attack by terrorists, killing two Israeli guards, and then followed up on Shabbat this last Friday as a man purporting to be one who wanted to come in and share the Shabbat celebration, came in dressed to the hilt fellowship with this family, took advantage of their hospitality, and butchered a grandfather and two children, and then was going to come after the rest of the children, five children of the family, and the wife, and she was quick enough to run and hide and lock them in a room where she called the police for help. It was too late for the three that were ambushed and destroyed there by that Palestinian terrorist. And they celebrate these people. And they pay them thousands of dollars, or pay their families thousands of dollars in reward money for carrying on these kinds of attacks. And this on the Sabbath, on the Shabbat, supposed to be a remembrance and celebration of peace and rest. That combined with what happened on the Temple Mount has now catapulted the world into a very, very tense situation. In response to that, a member of the Knesset has called on the Prime Minister to respond to the violence by allowing Jews to pray at their holiest site and to build a synagogue on the Temple Mount. I want you to think about the consequences of that. This is catapulting the thinking of the Jewish people in Israel to a level that they have not considered to date. Oh, yes, they've been preparing for a third temple. Yes, all of the various accoutrements have been prepared. You can read about it in my book, King of the Mountain. We give all the details of it there. It's quite fascinating. And they even have the cornerstone. But what has not happened is the ability, the political will in Israel to allow the temple to be built. There's a lot of fear. Fear of international response. And in fact, there's been international response to the fact that even Donald Trump, President Trump now, has sent his emissary, Jason Greenblatt, to Israel in attempt to try to quell the uprising there. The temperature has risen to unprecedented levels there in Israel. The Pope has gotten involved. Of course, the Pope, the papacy, has long declared that it desires to rule the Temple Mount, desires to rule the world from Jerusalem, and has done everything it can over the past 20 years or so to gain dominion over the key religious sites in Israel, including Mount Zion, the city of David, and the Temple Mount. So the Pope is calling for moderation following Temple Mount violence. Well, what does that look like for Israel? He doesn't do anything to come down on the Palestinians for their violence. No, because he shows favor to the Palestinians and the Muslim world. Why does he do that? Because, quite frankly, friends, he needs them to help carry out his intentions for the Vatican, the papacy, to govern the Temple Mount. He can't accomplish that through Israel alone. He has to have the Palestinians and the Islamic world to do it. So he plays both ends against the middle. He's not playing a biblical game. He's playing a carnal, secular game in the name of spirituality. Aruch Shevel, Israel National News. The Arab League came out yesterday and said Israel is playing with fire on the Temple Mount. Really? Israel's playing with fire? I thought it was the Palestinians and their terrorists that were playing with fire. I thought they were the ones that killed the two Israeli officers. I thought they were the ones that had their terrorists go in and desecrate the Sabbath and kill a grandfather and two grandchildren there on the Sabbath. How is it that they can say Israel's playing with fire? Well, as we say regularly on this program, viewpoint determines destiny. That's the viewpoint they choose to have because, listen, because their goal is to rule the world as well from the Temple Mount. Their goal is to own Jerusalem and rule the world from the Temple Mount. They have declared, the Islamic world has declared, that Al-Quds, Jerusalem, is theirs, the Temple Mount is theirs, and they will one day rule the world from Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. So the Arab League yesterday accused Israel of playing with fire. with its installation of new security measures on the Temple Mount, including metal detectors and cameras. Jerusalem is a red line, said its chief Ahmed Gait, saying that no Arab or Muslim will accept violations against the holy the city's holy sites. Well, there were no violations against the holy site. The only violations were by their own terrorists. But they refused to acknowledge that. Mr. Erdogan, the dictatorial president of Turkey, who is turning Turkey into a fundamentalist Islamic state, has condemned Israel for what he calls excessive force. Now, where is Israel's excessive force on the Temple Mount? All they did was install metal detectors so that those who wanted to go on the Temple Mount had to be checked to see if they had knives, weapons, guns, whatever. Is that force? No, that's not force. So then he says they're restricting freedom of worship. Really? How are they restricting freedom of worship? They're allowing anybody to go through as long as they go through the metal detectors. Has nothing to do with freedom of worship. The Vatican itself has metal detectors, friends. Are they restricting freedom of worship? Member of the Knesset, Mr. Lapid, says Israel's biggest problem is the amount of violence coming from the Palestinian Authority. And he said, every country on earth would have done what we did. He's right. In fact, we've done that even in our courts. You can't get into a court in this country without going through a metal detector. Did you know that? And there are many schools you can't get into without going through a metal detector. In fact, it's coming to the point where you can't get into some sporting events without going through a metal detector. This is what happens when people are wicked and savage and don't respect others. You have certain freedoms that are diminished in order to protect the welfare of the rest. Justice Minister Shaked says, no words describe the horrific and despicable murder that took place. She said, the Arab schools are brainwashing children to hate Jews. And she's absolutely true, absolutely correct. And they are supposed to be the authors of peace? You've got to be kidding me. We're going to pick up on this after the break. We have much, much more to talk about. Again, the battle for King of the Mountain has not only begun, friends, it's in high force.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
We won't concede sovereignty of the Temple Mount, says the Likud minister in the cabinet today, or a couple of days ago. He said, we've decided to keep the magnetometers at the entrance of the Temple Mount. Well, today that has changed. In fact, just shortly before broadcast time, this report came from Israel National News. Netanyahu and King Abdullah of Jordan reach agreement to resolve the crisis, at least with regard to Jordan and the Temple Mount. And Jordan captured or took captive a guard for the Israeli embassy in Jordan. Now, this is a grievous thing that they did. They took captive. The man was injured because he was shot at by another terrorist in Jordan while he was guarding the Israeli embassy. So what does Jordan do? They make him a prisoner. So much for friendship and partnership in peace, right? And Jordan is supposed to be a country that is in relative peace with Israel, like Egypt. Well, the tensions are so great that as of shortly before broadcast time, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Jordanian King Abdullah decided to reach and resolve the crisis between the two neighbors. The agreement stipulates that metal detectors will be removed from the entrances to the Temple Mount and will be replaced by other security measures. We're not told what they will be. Additionally, the security guard wounded by the stabbing attack at the Israeli embassy in Amman is going to be returned to Israel. We don't yet know what those metal detectors are going to be replaced by, but I can guarantee you Israel is not going to lay down and play quiet this time. Benjamin Netanyahu called the terrorist that killed the grandfather and children on Shabbat, called him a beast incited by wild hatred. In fact, he is. He is. Do you know that the Bible foretold this kind of wildness among the Arab people? Yes, God foretold it. Would you like to know where? In the book of Genesis. You recall that Abraham had a son by the name of Ishmael. His son was born to a woman who was an Egyptian. And Abraham's wife, Sarah, got very perturbed and jealous over the situation because she now had a son, the son of promise named Isaac, or as the Hebrews would say, Isaac. And so the tensions got so strong between these two women that God told Abraham to let Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, go, to send her away and to take her son Ishmael, who was now about 13, with her, at least 13. And so she did. And she had him out there in the desert. And, you know, they were kind of famished and they didn't have water. God provided water for her. And he promised her. It wasn't her fault that Ishmael was born, or that Ishmael had been cast out, or that she had been cast out. That wasn't her fault. And so God protected her in that regard. And he said, look, you're going to have that which is born of you will be a great nation. And there are going to be many princes that are going to be born. But your son and his descendants are going to be wild. That's what he said. You can read it right there in the scriptures. Your son and his descendants are going to be wild. And that's exactly what's happened. That's exactly what has happened, my friends. You may not like to hear it in this day of political correctness, multiculturalism, and religious pluralism, but that's what God said. And that's exactly what has happened historically. Throughout all time, 4,000 years since Abraham. Now let's take a look at what the rest of the world is doing with regard to this very, very tense situation. The United Nations sent an envoy. United Nations now, Middle East envoy, expressed his concern over the Temple Mount and urges all sides to de-escalate the tension in Jerusalem. Now, wouldn't you think that he would have called on the Palestinians to cease their violence, called on them to express their hatred for the violence that has taken place, the terrorism? No, he didn't do that. He acts as if Israel is the problem, or is as much the problem as the Palestinians. That same flavor continues throughout the world. It's even in the United States. Arut Sheva today says, Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, is leading the American efforts to quell the crisis in Jerusalem. Now, quelling the crisis, does that sound like, coming down on the Arabs, the Palestinians, the Muslims for their behavior? No. Because Mr. Trump wants to bring about a so-called peace agreement. So they're not going to come against the Palestinians and the terrorists. They're going to pretend that, well, this is just one of those things, one of those issues. And so they don't call a spade a spade. Just don't seem to have the courage to do it. They have other agendas. In the meantime, the Likud political party in Israel, of which Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the head, has surged to record high in new polls as the political left in Israel is plummeting. In other words, there's something about the seriousness of these matters in Israel that is causing Benjamin Netanyahu and his party to rise dramatically in political support. In other words, they can't trust the liberals. The liberals won't do anything, just like they don't in this country either. Of course, conservatives aren't doing much in this country either. Don't have courage, don't have convictions, don't have the courage of their convictions, even to set aside Obamacare, to repeal it, which they promised to do, had about 50 votes during the Obama administration to do such. And now four senators who voted to repeal Obamacare during all those times now refuse to do so. What's wrong with these people? We don't have representatives. What we have is people who are willing to sell their souls for political power, perks, and position. Period. They're not interested in the country. They're not interested in their people. Not really. They just give rationales for why they're now not going to carry on what they previously said they believed in. That same kind of spirit is taking place in our pulpits, friends, from coast to coast. We don't have time to talk about that. But that very same kind of lack of courage is taking place in our pulpits. And that's why all of the polls, all of the statistics are increasingly showing the terrible immoral behavior taking place in our congregations, in our churches, just like the rest of the world. It's very painful to watch. The lack of moral and spiritual courage to tell the whole truth, to preach the whole truth to congregations who don't want to hear it. So we become people pleasers. The pastors become politicians while we expect the politicians to act more like pastors. It's amazing. Today, or tomorrow rather, the Likud party, of which Mr. Netanyahu is the head in Israel, is scheduled to vote against a Palestinian state. In other words, against a two-state solution. We'll see what will actually happen, but that is the current state of affairs there in Israel. Now, we go back to this battle for King of the Mountain. Is this the time for a temple? Is it time for a new temple? Well, that was the question. Headlining Time magazine on October 16th, 1989. So, if this is the time, then what time is it? When I studied French in high school and a semester in college, there was one phrase that really stood out to me. Maybe you've heard the phrase, Kelur Etil. Kelur Etil. And what it means is, what time is it? Or what's the time? So I ask you the question, what time is it historically? What time is it prophetically? Would you dare to answer that? Most professing Christians are not willing to answer that question with any level of confidence or conviction. Because to answer the question honestly is to come to grips with its implication for their life, for your life and for mine. If this is indeed the time has come to rebuild the temple, we should expect the convergence of ancient prophecy and geopolitical events pointing to such an historic moment, supported perhaps by polls and priestly statements. Perhaps Isaiah, in his prophecy, sets the broader timetable. His words were written over 2,700 years ago, and they give a perspective concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Listen to these words. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. So are these the last days? Well, the Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this is that which is spoken of the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit. The last days began 2,000 years ago, friends. We're in the latter portion of the last days, which are called the latter days, just before what is called the day of the Lord, when God pours out his wrath on the children of disobedience. So, the real issue is not the third temple. The real issue is the temple of your heart and mind. Are you ready? If Christ were to come within a month or so, would you be ready? Are you sure? Have you purified yourself even as he is pure? That's what the Bible says we're to do. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of the book, King of the Mountain. $20 book, yours for $15. It's our website, saveus.org, or you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.